The sicha for this week's parsha for Bamidbar is in Chelek Ches, the eighth volume of Likutei Diburim, right at the beginning. Parsha Bamidbar is read in most years in the Shabbos before Shavuos, with Shavuos being the time of the giving of the Torah. And since every parsha is related to the time in which it is read and has a unique significance there, particularly when the day of the giving of the Torah is also called the day of the wedding, Geim Chasunosei, the wedding between God and the Jews, and by a wedding you are called up to the Torah. The chasun is called up to the Torah as a preparation for the wedding. And so the parsha that is read before the wedding is a preparation for the wedding. And from this it's understood that in the relationship in the relationship between God and the Jews, when God commanded us to count the Jews, the commandment in this week's parsha, we are told to count the Jews, must be related in some unique way and must also serve as a preparation for the wedding of the giving of the Torah. So we'll understand this by first explaining what Rashi says at the beginning of the parsha. Why were Jews counted? Rashi says, "Mitech chibosam lefanov," because Jews are so precious to God, "Meina esam kol shah," he counts them every hour, constantly. "Bi'echad b'nissan hukam ha-mishkan," on the first day of Nissan, the Mishkan was built, was put up, "U'be'echad b'ir manam," and a month later, in the first day of Iyar, God had the Jews counted. So here we have to understand. Number one, the purpose of counting that which is precious is because when something is precious, every detail becomes important. And so you count to get an exact number because every detail, every one, every number is important. So you want to know how many there are because of how important each one of them is. But benegeya to the Eibishter, when it comes to God, God knows how many Jews there are. So what purpose is there, what need is there in actually counting, in telling Moshe and Aaron that they should count the Jews? Number two, since the counting of the Jews, the numbering and the counting of the Jews came in connection with the putting up of the Mishkan, as Rashi says, before God came to dwell within them in the Mishkan, he first wanted to count them. And so the Mishkan was put up on the first day of Nisan. And yet the counting was delayed for a month and didn't happen until the first day of Iyar. So if there is a relationship between the Mishkan and the counting, why were they separated by a month's time? And number three, why in this counting does God say that it should happen, that it should be done through Moshe and Aaron? In the first counting, when they came out of Egypt, it doesn't say who should count. All it says is that they should all be counted. In the second counting, after the Egel, it says, and God said to Moshe to count. Only here are we told that the counting had to be done by Moshe and by Aaron. Why is that? So the explanation for all of this is by way of explaining the counting according to its spiritual inner meaning. Counting has the property, has the effect, that when you count something, every number, every digit, becomes equal to all other digits. So when you count the number of Jews, then the greatest of the great counts as one, and the lowest of the low also counts as one. So it's the great equalizer where all become equal in this counting. So from this we understand that the fact that Jews are precious, chibosan, the fact that God finds Jews precious, is expressed through the counting, in that God counts and numbers every Jew as an equal with all others, without distinction and without discrimination based on the personal, individual virtues or talents of the people. But that every Jew is an equal significance, of equal preciousness to God. What does that mean? It means that there is that in the Jew, that nekuda, that essence of the Jew, that is equal in all Jews, and that's what God finds most precious. And by counting, the effect of the counting is that it brings that essence and that core of the Jew, which makes him equal to all other Jews, to even the greatest Jew, it brings that core and essence of his Jewishness to the surface. That is the purpose of the counting, not to find out how many Jews there are, meaning to say, not to find out how precious Jews are, but to reveal how precious Jews are. As Rashi says concerning an earlier counting, in a previous sedra, where Rashi says, "Lehidiyach ibasam," that the counting was not because Jews are precious, but in order to make known their preciousness. Either to make it known to themselves, make it known to each other, but to reveal that part of the Jew that is precious to God, that makes all Jews equal. With this, we'll be able to explain what Rashi means that God counts them kol shah, that God counts the Jews every hour. Because this really is, it needs explanation. We find that from the coming out of Egypt until the building of the Mishkan, which is the second year after coming out of Egypt, which is a little more than a year, Jews were counted three times. That's not exactly every hour. But from then, there was a 38-year period until they were counted again, in the 40th year after coming out of Egypt. And very seldom did it happen afterwards that Jews were counted at all. The Medrash says that in all the times, in other words, all of history, until today, Jews have been counted nine times. And that the tenth time we will be counted with the coming of Mashiach. So if in all of history we've been counted only nine times, what does Rashi mean that Jews are so precious that God counts them kol shah, every hour? Now we might say that by the expression kol shah, Rashi means to say not that God counts them every hour, but every occasion, every special occasion, whenever Jews go up on a higher level, do something to move God to express his devotion to the Jewish people, of how precious the Jewish people are to God, that's when he counts them. So kol shah means not every occasion, not all the time, but at every occasion. But according to what we were saying before, that the counting is in order to reveal the core and the essence of one's Jewishness, we can explain it on a deeper level, that by saying kol shah, Rashi means to tell us that when this essence, when this core of Jewishness is revealed in the person through the counting, then the effect of it is that this core of your Jewishness affects you, changes you, and is active within you kol shah all the time. When a Jew is forced, God forbid, to bow to an idol or any other sin that the Yetzirah forces a Jew to do, a Jew could think to himself, since tshuva helps for all sins, and through tshuva, a proper tshuva, the sin becomes erased retroactively as if it had never happened. So what would be so terrible if for a moment I worshipped the idol or committed the sin and got separated from God? Since I always have the opportunity to do tshuva and thereby correct, to take away the damage caused by the sin and remove it even retroactively and come back to a closeness to God. But what we see in Jewish history is that Jews, by their very nature, are ready to give up their lives, rather than be separated from God even for a moment, even temporarily. In spite of the fact that they can soon, quickly, fix the damage and become once again close to God. And the reason that which moves the Jew to this kind of mesiras nefesh, to this kind of self-sacrifice, is because the godliness in their neshama is revealed within them. And the godliness of their soul is higher than time and is not affected by time. And therefore, a moment of separation from God, or a year of separation, or an eternity of separation, are all exactly the same. Because time has no effect on the neshama. And that's why, if the separation from God lasts even for a moment, it is equal to an eternity. It is as bad as an eternity, and the argument or the thought that it's only for the moment doesn't change or affect the neshama, and the neshama won't allow the Jew to bow to the idol even for the moment. And that's what Rashi means when he says, "Meina esam kol shah," that God counts them every hour. The counting, which means revealing the core of Jewishness, the core of the neshama in the Jew, protect the Jew kol shah. It protects the Jew from separating himself from God kol shah, any time, any amount of time, even the smallest, shortest amount of time, even for a moment. Because the neshama doesn't make this kind of reasoning, this kind of cheshbon. To the neshama, time is irrelevant. It's the essence of what is happening that is relevant. And what's happening is being separated from God, and the neshama can't tolerate that, so it will not allow a Jew to separate himself from God kol shah, any amount of time. But this will also understand the difference between the three countings that Rashi mentions. The first, when they came out of Egypt and then made the golden calf. The second time, before the putting up of the Mishkan. And the third time, on the first day of Iyar, after putting up the Mishkan. Because in revealing this core of godliness in the person, this essence of the neshama in the person, there are three possibilities. The first possibility is that even as the neshama is revealed and the core of Jewishness is revealed in the person to such a degree that it moves him to sacrifice his life literally, factually, rather than separate from God, even at such time, internally, personally, the person's mind and heart hasn't changed at all. He remains the same as he was before. As the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya, that the lowest of the low who can sacrifice himself rather than to sanctify God's name, rather than bow to the idol, is still called the lowest of the low. Because even though he is ready to sacrifice his life rather than bow to the idol, at the same time, it is also possible that he should violate other sins, other mitzvahs, which are not avodah zarah, as it happened with the Jews coming out of Mitzrayim, that they made the golden calf. So although the essence of their neshama was revealed in that they left Egypt without questioning God and without doubting him and so on, yet a short while later they made the golden calf. So it hadn't changed them internally. That's one possibility. The second possibility is that the core of Yiddishkeit that is revealed in them affect their thinking and their feeling as well. So that even his intelligence agrees and it makes sense to the person that you're supposed to have mesiras nefesh, that you're supposed to sacrifice your life for God. But at the same time, it is noticeable that this awareness isn't coming from the logic or from the seichel, the intelligence of the person, but that his intelligence is being affected by his neshama. The third possibility is that the core of his neshama permeates so deeply, so thoroughly, that the neshama becomes the entire personality. So that the intelligence and the emotions and everything else becomes similar to the neshama itself, and everything becomes the core of Yiddishkeit. That's the difference between the three countings. By coming out of Egypt, the Jewish neshama was revealed, and it expressed itself in a pure, unadulterated emunah. And that is expressed in the fact that the Jews followed God into a desert without asking, what are we going to eat? Lechtech acharei bamidbar be'eretz loizazua. That the Jews followed God into a desert, a land that where nothing grows. But that was the effect of the neshama as it canceled and overwhelmed their thinking and their feelings. But internally, they hadn't really changed. Then there was the counting before the building of the Mishkan, when through the making of the Mishkan, God was going to dwell in them, the Shachanti B'Seicham, in the person, internalized in the person. Here you had to have another counting, because here the revealing of the neshama had to be a more personal and a more integrated one. So this preciousness that was revealed at the coming out of Egypt now had to take a second step and settle deeper into the people, and therefore was necessary to make another counting, because the neshama was now going to be revealed to a greater degree, in a deeper level. And that is that it should affect also the internal processes of the people, so that God can dwell in them, not just around them. And then after the building of the Mishkan, when Jews already had the Aved of the Mishkan, and they had become themselves a Mishkan, a dwelling place for God, then you had to have the third counting, that this preciousness of the Jew, which means the core of the Jewish neshama, should be revealed in such a, to such a degree that it becomes the person. They become their neshama. And that's why the counting after the building of the Mishkan had to wait until the first day of Iyar, until the second month. It also explains why Aaron had to count along with Moshe. The difference between Nisan, the month when we came out of Egypt, and the month in which the Mishkan was built, and Iyar, the month of counting of the Omer, is that Nisan is a time when godliness comes from above downwards. Iyar is a time when we raise ourselves from below upwards towards godliness. That's also the difference between Moshe and Aaron. Moshe brought godliness from above downwards, and Aaron was the one who raised Jews up to the level of godliness. And since the counting, the third counting, after the construction of the Mishkan, was in order to reveal the core of the neshama into the personality of the people, not only from above downward, but also from below upward, that the person should rise to become his neshama, that's why it had to happen through Moshe and Aaron. And it had to happen in the second month, in the month where the world rises to godliness, in addition to godliness coming down to the world. And that's the connection between the Parsha Bamidbar and its beginning, where it says, Se'u es reish, count the heads of the people, the numbers of the people. And the word Se'u is also related to the word Nisui in marriage, which is the day of Matan Torah. And the connection being that by Matan Torah, that's when the two directions, the heavens coming down and the earth going up, that's when these two things happened, when God came down to Har Sinai and Moshe went up to Har Sinai. So there was a godliness coming from above downwards, and there was a godliness happening from below upwards. So in preparation to this connection, to this oneness coming from both directions, a two-dimensional connection, the preparation for bringing godliness down to the Jewish people and bringing the Jewish people up to godliness, we read in the Torah about the counting that happened not in the month of Nisan, but in the month of Iyar, the second month, a month in which the world rises towards God through the Sfiras HaEmet. And it happens through Moshe and Aaron, Moshe bringing God down to the people, and Aaron bringing the people up to God. And that is the proper preparation for the oneness, the intimacy of the giving of the Torah, through which there is the total union of God, Israel, and Torah becoming all one.